Good morning to you, Miss Gill.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay. Mom, I wanted to speak to you on three different topics this morning.
You better make it fast.
Yes, I will. First, I want to speak to the issue that was raised earlier about Senator Monique Tate, where she made some very valid, because I believe the practice of hypocrisy is often carried out by hypocrites. I'm not a hypocrite, never will be, right? Mm-hmm. I support her 100% and her call and quest for, and you cited after the types of things that has to be done by senators and so on, is a lot of hard work. The challenge I am having, though, however, right, is that the Democratic Party was in office for the better part of 10 years, from 15th of January 2008 until the 24th of May 2018, a total of 10 years. And I'm wondering if I have heard or would have heard the voice of the same Monique Tate when the last administration, ma'am, would have made all types of decisions and choices with the exception of good ones that saw and witnessed where we are now currently at. For instance, catering contract, ma'am, at 23,000 plus in the lower house per day and 17,000 plus in the upper house per day. That in the event when you have the estimates of revenue and expenditure, you can witness the taxpayers having to fork out almost $120,000 for a 5-day period for which these debates are having in both lower and the upper house. So while I agree with Ms. Tate, I'm saying that there was a previous administration who sought to went beyond the boundaries of, I don't want to use the term licking out taxpayers' money, but spending taxpayers' money without some measure, some level of discretion. Right?
So what and I want to do, what that has to do with the, I'm trying to get your connection.
No, I'm going to break to you now. That the same money that was spent in the catering, that could have been a lot lower, where then you could have diverted some of the same funds to assist these very senators who are now working hard. I'm saying that while that was happening, no voice was heard in the wilderness crying for such persons who sit in the Senate, who do the same hard work for which myself and you agree. No voice had what we heard trying to get or coerce the government to pay some special attention to these individuals. That's the point I'm making. That some of the money that was spent, the large sums of money, not only in catering, and all types of unscrupulous contractual arrangements, like the $28 million that was spent at Transport Board with a young man who fixed the thing up in Kendall Hill, who fixed the Transport Board buses. This is public knowledge.
But I heard your point, and I would respond to indicate that the two aren't related. So you're just being difficult there by saying that a senator should have raised that in that at that time, because I don't think a senator goes in and checks to see how much is spent on the catering or how much is spent on the cleaning or any of the ancillary services that are provided for them in that space.
Okay. If you want me to grant you,
the reason why this matter comes up is because while we are in the business of talking about raising salaries, while we are talking about what is being done, while all of that, I think that was why that suggestion by the senator was made.
Agreed. But the point I'm making is that the good senator must know that there were decisions. I just said it. Decisions and choices, with the exception of good ones that were made in the last administration, that a case could have been made while taxpayers' money was galloping behind those choices and decisions, that a case could have also been made for senators at the time.
And we heard you. We heard you. And we heard you. We heard you.
Good. So one cannot ascribe to malice man that which is due to incompetence. Well, let me move on to my next point.
One cannot. Right? Anyway, you go ahead.
Yeah, ascribe to
malice. No. Continue. Move on.
I want to support the Prime Minister in her rubbing shoulders. After having met with the former Attorney General of the United States of America, Eric Holder, at the Eric Holder, I think the complex in St. Joseph. The reason why I'm saying this, ma'am, is that I believe that all constituents in this country should have full access to their representatives. All. I believe this. Now, let me explain something. There is something in this country that continues to permeate in this country that I think I must draw to your attention, even that you do not know. And that is that some people have greater access to politicians and parliamentarians over and above others, and everyone or most persons would have voted. And I don't believe it is right or fair, ma'am, for Joe Blow, because he cannot have access to his parliamentary representative, now has to share his personal information with someone who has access to the same parliamentary representative, and to divulge personal information simply because he cannot get the opportunity to put that information over himself. That is why I believe that I support the Prime Minister in her rubbing shoulders, because in rubbing shoulders, what the Prime Minister will know, or what she would hear in her moving around, is those who are using the buzzword, they are always busy. Okay. Because if you know that you are going to be busy, or it is a job that takes up enormous amount of your time, and that you will have none for those persons who you have asked to vote for you, then I believe that you should step out the way and allow someone who will make themselves available. I hope that I have not hurt anyone's feeling by so saying, but I will say it nevertheless, because the previous administration was damned by myself and others for the same conduct. Where when you move into a constituency to canvass, somebody asks you where the elections, when elections going to be, the elections going to be soon. Ma'am, it is a travesty to hear individuals saying this to people who are now seeking high office in this country, because that it should not be. What should obtain, ma'am, is that when you present yourself, that the constituents embrace you without having to say or ask the question if elections are in the air. For too long, this has been the practice, and I hope that the Prime Minister continue to hold these individuals who were elected under her watch their feet to the fire, and ensure that they continue to be interactive and continue to be vigilant within their respective constituencies. The last thing I want to say is the retrenchment upon which the Prime Minister spoke in the House Assembly on Tuesday. Now, had I had the opportunity, ma'am, to advise the Prime Minister, this is what I would say.
You know, you're sizing up for something.
No. There are a set of individuals who came on in the public service between 2009 and 10, 2013 and onward, who were given appointments over and above people who were in the same public service for 20, 15, 22, and 25 years because of their support for the last administration. I am saying that what the Prime Minister needs to do is to revisit those 3,000 appointments the former Prime Minister Van der Stoort would have enunciated and sought to put in place to ensure that a number of supporters of the last administration will be gainfully employed regardless of if they are out or in office. Revisit the act, the statute that deals specifically with appointments, and see where amendments can be made in that statute. Make the necessary amendments and do the last in first out rule. Therefore, that those persons who now believe, for one reason or the other, that they have skipped the line while the union slept. And now holding on or seeking to hold on to job because of a document that says that they are appointed having came 3 years and 4 years before. And in other words, the last 4 years and the last 5 years in off to work in the public service. I believe that they should be entitled to hold on to job by virtue of this arrangement, so-called an appointment, that statute should be revisited and those individuals, along with others who already have been 33 and 30 years, are approaching there and are willing to accept a handsome handshake. I think those are the two areas that I believe the Prime Minister should focus on if there's going to be any major retrenchment as it relates to seeking to bring the Barbados economy back on track as it relates to the follow-up with public servants.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Brass-Sachs. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling about the caller before your last caller that spoke about the PSV. You know, we have had a problem in Barbados, not only with PSV, but with everything. And this is an ongoing problem, because that's just how life is, right? Where there's never a level playing field. And I think that we need to start, I mean, yes, they're talking about the music on the minibuses. Amplified music is illegal on the minibus. We all know that. You know why it is that nobody gets it right? Because of who owns the buses. I'm an owner as well, so I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I would love the day when they take all the amplified music out of the buses. Some of those amplified music cost more than the vehicle itself value that. Those things are annoying.
I heard the caller before, and I'm hearing you. And it is, I mean, when I drive in my vehicle, I want to hear the news. I want to hear a song. I want to be able to communicate because we know we have the...
But you know, ma'am, I always start to give you an allowance. Okay, you're allowed to listen to news. You're allowed to listen to announcements. But you know, I can't listen to news unless I listen to the music with it.
I hear you. I'm just finishing my piece there because I understand your side. And you are an actual PSV owner, which is good to hear your perspective. And I'm also saying you don't take away every single thing because you want somebody to stop something. You curtail it. And we do have a number of drivers who have gone before the law courts for noise and for breaking particular rules and regulations. There is also the suggestion that persons like yourselves, owners of vehicles, should go before the law courts as well for more or less, what's the word, incentivizing these same drivers to do things that would break the law by putting in some of the same, as you say, expensive paraphernalia and expensive technology. But they do that to attract the persons on the street to come and catch your vehicles. So what say you?
You know, ma'am, at every month, and right, come hell or high waters, I have bills to pay, okay? Mm-hmm. So as long as you cannot provide a level playing field. Now, it can be that a government vehicle is allowed to put a sticker along the back of the vehicle to advertise to make an extra, let me say, $200 or so a month. Mm-hmm. But I can't do it because I'm a private sector person, but the government transport board buses are allowed to do it. That is where the level playing field comes out.
So there's no level playing field.
There is no level playing field. You need to make it across the board for everybody. It can't be one rule for me and a different rule for you. That is unfair, right? So when you say, and to be honest, right, you just talk about, okay, you shouldn't have to take away everything, but you know what? You have to look at the mentality of the people you are dealing with. I cannot get a better driver because you have made it so difficult for me to get a better driver.
Who has made it difficult for you? Who has made it?
The police, etc. The police
by enforcing their rules, they've made it difficult.
By enforcing their rules for me, but a transport
and not for others. Okay.
The exact same thing that my vehicle is doing, and that is okay. Now a Samaras Castle bus going with people coming through the front wearing stained glass, that's fine because those people have to get home. I heard the driver saying about somebody going above and beyond the call of duty for something, right?
minibuses and Zaras do it every single day. But you know what? We get reported for it. Because it is against the law. The rain was pouring yesterday. My Zara driver could not reverse up a gap to put off a passenger at the door because the police would come in the rain and report my driver for it. Or tell him about it and let him know of the report a little later.
But you know why, though? You know why? Because the majority of the drivers have broken the rules so often that even if they are putting off an old pensioner who has somewhere, you know, she has a lot of bikes and he's putting her off.
No, ma'am. That is a poor excuse. That is a very, very poor excuse.
I ain't justifying. Listen to me. I'm not justifying the two sets of rules, you know. I fully understand and support you in the call that one set of persons should get the same should be treated to the same level of scrutiny.
Yes, you can't say to me that.
I fully support that. But I also tell you,
you
hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. That's just like the dog that accustomed sucking eggs. So even the day I don't suck an egg, I still get blamed.
But hear my argument though, and I hear your argument. I mean, you're making some valid points. Some I support, some I'm also asking you to look at it this way. Because of the reputation of several of our minibus drivers over the years, because of their continual, what we call law breaking, and consistent law breaking, and behavior, and loud music, and all of that, they have brought themselves a bad rap. There are some persons from the PSV community who don't necessarily behave bad and don't necessarily stop everywhere, you know, but there are persons who, because of the regularity with which they have done it, ostensibly people believe that, hey, these people don't have any behavior, so, you know, they're always bad. So they have brought themselves that bad rap. You must be able to admit that, though.
No, I would not accept that. And I would not accept that on the ground that when I bring a bad rap, now, the only reason I play loud music is because somebody high up in a government, or some government official, somebody high up somewhere on a PSV as well, and their van can play loud music and nothing happens with it. So you know what? My driver have no choice because you know what? He can't come and give me $100 tonight and tell me, well, that's all he made, because I need money just like anybody else to pay my bills at the end of the month or at the end of the week. So when you say, oh, all I'm looking at is money at the end of the day, you can't say that all I'm looking at is the money at the end of the day.
Who said that? Don't put words in my mouth.
People, you may not have said it personally.
But we having a conversation. Let's talk about what we...
Yes, but what I'm saying is that, generally speaking, people will say, oh, all they look at is the financial gain at the end of the day. But that is all I pay bills. Nothing else pays bills. Nobody's going to say, okay, her boss don't play loud music. Her boss don't do this. Her boss don't do that. So, you know what? Tell the employer this month that all is well. Tell the insurance company this month that, you know...
But you know what you're bringing home to me is that you are... You have some legitimate claims in there, but you are also saying that because somebody is doing something wrong, you are doing it, and that's what pays the bills. And I want you to rejig your thought process.
No, ma'am, I want you to listen to what I'm saying, right? I have bills to pay just like the man that is breaking the rules. You know what? My driver goes before the court and will pay the court $800 forthwith for breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Somebody else's driver out there is doing the exact same thing as me, and nothing is happening to him because of who or what position he's in. Okay? And it is not fair. A transport board bus driver out there is doing the same thing as me, because you know what? Most of the transport board drivers out there are former PSC drivers. So they don't get up one morning and do nothing or change everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So his driver is doing the same thing as me, but guess what? He's not being penalized for it. Because he is now owned by government, he can now reverse up a gap, and nothing happens to him. He can now have 30 excess passengers in his vehicle, and nothing happens to him. It is not fair. You cannot say to me that transport board is providing a service. I provide a service. And guess what? My vehicles are far, far older than a transport board bus. My vehicles are far, far older than any transport board bus they have out there. My personal vehicle is over 30 years old, and it works 6 days a week. You can't tell me that a transport board bus can't work 3 days a week comfortably. I have a maintenance bill too. Transport board, each passenger that it picks up gets the transport board is paid $7. That passenger pays $2. The government subsidizes it by paying another $5. Nobody subsidizes me. Absolutely nobody subsidizes me. But I am paying, I am working my business on $2. You are getting more than $3.
I think you're conflating some issues though. You're adding, I hear your original point, and it's a legitimate point about the level playing field and the importance of the police to enforce. But you're also speaking to your payments as also a part of that, and I think they're two separate issues.
Those are not two separate issues, ma'am. A transport board buses get $7 for each passenger they pick up. I only get two, and I have to make it work. How can it be level?
You were responding to the... Remember you talked about the level playing field and the behavior and the loud music, etc. But then you started talking about money and paying your bills.
All of it, you got to remember, right? If I come to work at Starcom, Dennis gets one set of money and I get a different set. I have to do the exact same job as Dennis. It can't be that because he's older and he's getting sick more regular than me, that he gets more money because of me. Because, you know, I'm young and I'm able.
But then it's in public and I am private, though. So you can't expect to get the same thing.
I'm trying to level you. I'm trying to give you an example.
I'm going
to
give you an example because you're saying you are private and they are public, but you want a level playing field. You want the same thing that they're getting.
Because at the end of the day, we are all categorized as PSVs. So that's where the level playing field is. Because what is good for the goose got to be good for the gander. You can't tell me a PSV in yellow with a blue stripe. Rules are different to a PSV in blue with a yellow stripe.
The rules should be the same. I fully support that. The rules should be the same. What I want to take you back to, and I fully support your first point. You went on to talking about paying bills, etc. And I was also telling you that because we talked about several things. You talked about the music in the vehicles, etc. And you said that some people get reported for music and other people don't, something like that.
Yeah.
But then you went on to talk about the paying bills and the subsidy that the transport board gets. What about the caller's concern about the behavior and the loud music? What about that part? Because I don't want you to conflate that to the reason why you have to break the rules is all because you have to pay bills. That's skewed in its origin. In other words, tell your drivers to follow the rules. They will be disadvantaged, is what you're saying, because another person alongside of them will have high music and people will be more attracted, or people will come to their vehicle more. Yeah. So you will get less money at the end of the day. So your way of playing the game is breaking the rules with everybody else so that you get to pay your bills. And I'm telling you to consider the ethics in that, because you're saying that you break a rule. Probably
because
it doesn't.
What you are saying is that, okay, let me play by the rules. Let me be nice girl.
Well,
okay? But at the end of the day...
At the end of the day, you can benefit, you know.
How am I?
Because your drivers are going to get less time, more time on the streets, because they're not going to be going to the law courts. People are, they're going to get a following.
Right?
Let me finish. They're going to get a following because there are several persons who want to have a driver with no noise. Trust me, the people who call here to complain are the people who don't want to catch vehicles with the loud noise or the vulgar noise.
There are many, many passengers out there that would prefer to catch a private PSV vehicle without that noise. But I personally sit behind my own driver's wheel. And people do ask me when they're getting off the van, ma'am, I need this van. I'm going to be catching a van again, let's say, in 2 hours' time. Will you be working? If you will be, I will wait on you. You know why? I listen to Brass Tack. I listen to the 7:30 news on morning. I listen to the 4:30 news on afternoon. People want to hear that. But you know what? There is music in between. And there are people that will come on the van and will say, I don't want to hear that. There's a CD player to say so. But I don't play, because that ain't my thing at all. So, but when they give you the CD does not have anything decent on it. So they bring it on, but I don't play that. And there are a lot of people that will not catch me because of that. But if we decide all together no brass tacks, no news, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Everybody worked together. When you come in the van, maybe they got something that you could hear, somebody could tell you what happened just now. Fine, no problem. But let it all, let everybody be at the same level. Don't say no amplified music, only out of the set that comes with the vehicle. Nothing. You know what? We want it regularized. Do it with absolutely nothing for nobody.
Okay. Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
It's the summer of fun and reading thanks to Cave Shepherd and Tasha's Wonderland. This year's participants are reading all summer long and must submit their book reports by emailing carolroberts@starcomnetwork.net. The children who read the most books will win a fantastic $500 shopping spree at Cave Shepherd. Now remember, the deadline for submitting all book reports is Friday, August 17th. So keep reading, keep writing, and keep enjoying the summer of fun and reading challenge. Thanks to Cave Shepherd, Tasha's Wonderland, and VOB 92.9 FM.